Shine joins the podcast this week. Adam hosts three shows for CBS Sports Network, which is that other pregame show on Sunday mornings, NFL Monday QB on Mondays throughout the season, and Time to Shine, which is his weekday show from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern time. He's also a contributor to Inside the NFL on Showtime and hosts the show Shine on Sports on SiriusXM weekdays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Mad Dog Radio. Additionally, Adam is new to Facebook, and he's going to be doing daily Facebook live chats beginning this Thursday. Adam, you've got like 1,000 jobs. You've got three kids at home. When do you find time to sleep?
You know, Ryan, I learned this a long time ago. You have to sleep. I mean, you do. And it sounds crazy, and sometimes the West Coast games kind of get in the way. But the goal every night is to get 8 hours of sleep. Now, is that realistic with three jobs and three kids, or three kids and five jobs? I mean, that depends on the night. But 7-8 hours. I get my 7-8 hours. I make sure, you know, when I get home, I spend time with the kids, with my wife. You know, sleep is important. You got to get the 8 hours of sleep. I learned that a long time ago, if you're going to do what I do for a living.
So the big story this week, at least as far as the big lead is concerned with football, is Odell Beckham and some of the other Giants receivers. They flew down after beating Washington on Sunday, went to Miami, went clubbing until daybreak, and then they went out on a yacht where there were maybe or maybe not drugs being passed around. What was your take on this story?
I am going to really disappoint you with this. I didn't care. I didn't care when Tony Romo went to Cabo. I didn't care when Jason Witten was on the same trip, and nobody talks about that because Jason Witten wasn't dating a pop star at the time and obviously has a reputation of being one of the best guys and best workers in the NFL. I once interviewed Mike Tomlin on SiriusXM before playoffs, and it was a bye year and a bye week for the Steelers, and he said he went on a ski vacation. Nobody said boo. Do I care what players do on an off day? I don't. I don't think anybody cares. Now, if they weren't prepared on a work day, that to me is a huge deal. If they didn't show up on time for a meeting, that's a huge story. What they do on the off day, you know, hanging out with Bieber, hanging out with Johnny Manziel. I mean, you know, I wouldn't choose to spend time with Johnny Manziel personally, but I don't get worked up about that kind of stuff.
You mentioned Romo and Witten and Cabo. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that was during a bye week, not just like a day. I know it's a minor distinction. This is going to sound really dumb, but it's like a total non-issue if they win, or at least if the receivers perform what is deemed to be adequately. But if they come out there flat in the Lambeau cold, they just get run over, these converted wide receiver practice squad cornerbacks are stopping them, I think that could be a big issue for them going forward. Now, in the annals of football history, like the Lombardi Packers, they're canonized rightfully for the amount that they won, but there are stories like, if you read Jerry Kramer's instant replay, Fuzzy Thurston won a drinking contest and then did push-ups on a piano. Yeah. Paul Hornung and Max McGee they basically decided to live with having to pay Vince Lombardi's curfew tax and just did as they pleased. And Max McGee hung over as all hell, caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Then you go back, the Raiders, the Madden Raiders were big partiers, the Cowboys of the 90s, of course, the Giants of the 80s. So it's not as if it's new that these extremely like wealthy and athletic and famous young men would want to enjoy themselves on their time off and enjoy themselves to the fullest. But what's new is that it just gets disseminated everywhere on Snapchat, and TMZ has spies everywhere, and we can all see it in real time.
Sure. And you're right about the history, and great job by you rattling that off. That was very impressive right there. Here's what interests me. The reaction from Ben McAdoo, the reaction from Eli Manning. Now, you are spot on with your take. It'll be a thing because it is a thing and it's out there. And there are people, not me, who are heated about it. If the Giants lose, if Beckham has a bad game, if the receivers don't step up, look, I don't think the Giants are beating Green Bay. I think Aaron Rodgers is absolutely on fire. I think Eli Manning's had a dreadful season by Eli standards. I don't think they have an offensive line. You know, I don't think they have depth at receiver behind Odell Beckham Jr. So do I think what happened in Miami or spending an off day in Miami is going to have any impact on the game? Absolutely not. Do I think you're on to something, fair or unfair? If the Giants lose, will this be part of the conversation? Look, I'm not naive. I'm not going to take the cheese. I'm not going to take the bait. I'm not going to hit this on Sirius XM or CBS because I don't believe it. But yes, I'm not crazy. I know it's going to be out there, going to be a topic for discussion.
It's funny because I'm a diehard Packers fan, and I'm going to this game on Sunday. And at first, when the story came out, I was like, okay, this is great. Like, they're distracted. This is going to become a big story.
I mean, your first question has to be Packers by 20, right?
Well, I was thinking, okay, this is going to be easy street. But then Eli Manning handled it perfectly, the way he deflected it with the jokes. And Beckham, I saw his press conference today. He did a really good job of handling it, given the predicament that he was in. And then I'm like, uh-oh, now they're going to be really motivated to perform, to prove everybody wrong for hating on them for going on this trip. So I did a total 180. And now I think that this story is actually a liability for the Packers and not an asset.
A liability? Oh, that's interesting. Well,
they're going to be so amped up to prove everyone wrong that they're going to, I don't know, maybe they're going to do it. I always talk myself into the worst.
Did you see Mike McCarthy's press conference? The way he talked to the press today, I thought that was awesome.
Who?
Mike McCarthy. I think this team in Green Bay has the blinders on, and they are so singularly focused right now on beating the Giants.
You talked about how they've been steamrolling everyone. That's been really nice to see. But there have been a lot of people who have said that Rodgers made good on his promise to run the table. That was the famous quote a few years ago. It was relaxed. Now at 4-6, he said that they were going to run the table, and they did proceed to finish the regular season out 6-0. But I'm not giving him credit for that prophecy yet, because I don't think that he meant that they were going to win the rest of the regular season and then have like another disappointing playoff exit. I thought he meant they were going to win 10 in a row. So I don't think that he has made good on his statement yet. What do you think?
Well, I love this conversation, because we had Aaron Rodgers on our Sirius XM radio show on Shine On Sports. And it was after the fourth straight win. And, you know, I asked about that guarantee of running the table, which, by the way, I'm very pro Rodgers, pro McCarthy, pro Packer. You know, I totally bought into that. And when he said it, I picked them against Philadelphia. People thought I was crazy, Ryan. I thought they'd run the table too. I looked at the schedule and I said, you know what?
Seattle, that was the one that was lingering as a question mark.
Yeah, and I thought they would, based upon the location of the game. Then Earl Thomas was hurt, and I said, you know what? They're going to steamroll. Aaron Rodgers is going to. See, Rodgers to me is still the best in the business. You mentioned my jobs. One of my favorite things is on Mondays, on NFL Monday QB, when I talk to guys like Rich Gannon and Trent Green and Steve Berline, guys who play the game so successful at a high level, like the word choice they use, but even more than that, the facial expression, when they're talking about Aaron Rodgers and his genius and his greatness, I mean, it's incredible. And, you know, I think that when you talk to Phil Sims or Boomer Esiason, I mean, these guys just marvel at it. So going back to the conversation I had with Rodgers, he said this, and this was a great quote. He took a leap of faith in saying we were going to run the table because he trusted the championship infrastructure with McCarthy, with the guys that he's been with and won with and been successful with. And he said in that Redskins loss, you could tell me as a fan if you agree or disagree, that I saw enough in terms of signs where I felt like we can do it. I don't even know if he believed it and or meant we're going to win the Super Bowl. I think he said, you know what? Forget Tennessee. Forget Indy. Forget Washington. I know I can do it. We can do it. Mike can do it. We're going to go out and do it.
Yeah, that certainly was the turning point of when he said it. I don't know that there were... You can point to signs in retrospect. The offense had started to wake up, and at that point in the year, it was like the defense that was giving up like 40 points and 1,000 yards a game, and that it just didn't seem like they had any juice, to use a term of your friend Mad Dog. They just had no intensity on defense, and they were
no juice, no intensity there, right? Good point out of you.
It didn't really change. They've still been giving up a bunch of yards on defense. What changed is all of a sudden they've been forcing turnovers. They went that month without forcing very many. And when they started getting these interceptions or getting the bounces on the fumbles is when everything turned around for the team. Rodgers, I agree with you. He is the best in the business. But there was a full calendar year starting last season with that game.
Sure.
In Denver,
sure.
Where Wade Phillips' defense totally flummoxed him until really like maybe that Washington game that you cite, maybe the Tennessee game where the offense was still pretty good, but they gave up a million points. That was when he started to get it back. This is a really weird thing to say, but getting hurt, I actually think was an asset to him when he hurt his hamstring and his calf, because a lot of his issues when the year he was struggling was that he didn't have faith in the receivers to be getting separation with the routes that were getting called. And he was being skittish in the pocket and really trying to do everything himself and running all over the place. And those injuries kind of centered him. And he all of a sudden had to play within the confines of the offense. And oh, by the way, he got Jared Cook back. Jordy Nelson's legs are all the way back, and they discovered a running game. But the injuries, it was in a weird way, sort of helped him get his game back.
Well, it's interesting. I think, you know, first of all, you know your team inside and out. And, you know, the Jordy Nelson comment is something that I think, you know, and I'll be honest, I thought he would be Jordy Nelson right at the start of the season, and that clearly was not the case. Nelson being Nelson, to me, changes everything, because you're right about the confidence level. And, you know, Jordy is his finest blanket, and he's the one he trusts on third down at the red zone and big plays. And he then, I think, everybody is better as a result of Jordy Nelson being Jordy Nelson. And look, the running back situation was a mess. And I don't know where you stand as a Packer fan, but to me, because there was a while, and I'm sure, I mean, I know, I read your stuff all the time. You were, you know, part of this too. Who do you blame? Ted Thompson, Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I was.
I always have been of the belief, if you had to place blame, it was on Ted. Because I've never looked at the Packers roster and said, there it is. There's the 1-53 best team in the NFL. They have an unbelievable quarterback. They have a coach who I think is a Super Bowl winner, who I think is much maligned for some reasons that are beyond unfair. I'm a big Mike McCarthy believer and a big Mike McCarthy fan. And I just felt like they were so vulnerable in terms of depth on the roster. And look, I thought Eddie Lacy was going to have a big bounce back year. I think he was in route before he got hurt. But that was a mess. They had no depth
they
whatsoever.
Exacerbated his injury too. Like, it was kind of like one of those things where he probably shouldn't have been playing.
Yeah, I agree.
His ankle, but they needed the body.
Oh, and there's no doubt there was a setback. And to me, I blame Ted Thompson for that. And don't misinterpret. I think this band should be together for a long time. Look, what I do, what you do, we're reactionary, but you always got to take a deep breath. You know, as my colleague Amy Trask always says on that of the pregame show, all right, want to fire someone? And do what? If you fire Mike McCarthy, it's impossible to find a better head coach than Mike McCarthy. So I like Mike a lot professionally and personally.
It's impossible.
Who's better than Mike McCarthy?
Who's out there? Well, if you could get like Nick Saban or Urban Meyer, or
they're not going to coach. They're not that. I mean, that's not realistic. And by the way, you know, Nick Saban, I believe, can coach in the NFL. You know, Urban Meyer, who's not leaving, you know, that there are hypotheticals attached there, too. And I think that you're talking about two of the best college coaches in the history of college football. So just so you know where I'm coming from with that.
Maybe like one of them wants to coach Rodgers. So with McCarthy, I did write that he should be on the hot seat. I did not say that he should be fired. I said an in-season firing would be inappropriate, but I think that they need to reach the Super Bowl this year. And I wrote this at the point where they were 4-4, and then they lost two more games. I think I had a Facebook status, fire everyone, but that was heat of the moment.
So let me ask you this. Packers lose. They beat the Giants 27-17. They lose in Dallas by a field goal. You disappointed in the season?
No, kind of. But if it happens like that, it's going to have to depend how they lose in that game. But with the way that they rebounded and the fight that they've shown, I think that this season has been worthwhile, especially if they get the playoff win this week.
I agree. I think, you know, in terms of McCarthy and Rodgers' legacy, and listen, I am an unabashed, you know, believer and fan of McCarthy and Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback that we've seen. I mean, he's ridiculous. I think the Seattle game on Championship Sunday, because I'll always believe they would have won the Super Bowl that year. If they don't win another one, that's the one we'll always be talking about.
That is the other Giants loss was randomly sneaky, brutal one, because they got severely outplayed in that game in 2011, I believe, early 2011. Early 2012 is the 2011 season when they were 15-1. They were getting handily outplayed, but still within striking distance. And there was a play where Rodgers had Jordy Nelson streaking totally open down the sidelines, and Umenyora at the 11th hour knocked the ball out of Rodgers' hand. So instead of like a long touchdown, and I don't know what the score would have been exactly at that time, but instead of a long touchdown and either close or tie or maybe lead, then all of a sudden the Giants had the ball back and they never looked back.
That bothers you even more than the Seattle game.
No, it doesn't bother me more, but I think it doesn't get mentioned that they really could have won that game, even though they
were not the better team
that day.
Yeah, the better team lost that game. I agree with you completely.
Let's move on to the other games. I don't think we need to spend that much time talking about Oakland-Houston because it feels inconsequential where the winner of that probably isn't going to win next week. But
Ryan, isn't it such a shame what happened to the Raiders? I mean, it was such a great story.
You had David Carr as your MVP, and he just goes down. And all of a sudden, the fortunes of like everything that team went through to turn around and to give their fans hope just totally went by the wayside with Carr's leg.
Yeah, I guaranteed on Time to Shine that the Raiders were going to win the division, make the playoffs this year, win double-digit games. And, yeah, I voted. I'm one of the 50 voters. I've been outspoken on that on Time to Shine, Shine on Sports, that Carr is my vote for MVP. I don't think anyone's meant more to his team and been more clutch in the fourth quarter. And he's not only had to beat the opposition, you know, his defense is ranked 26th in the NFL. I saw that on Saturday on that Week 16 game, and I was just crushed for Raider Nation, and also selfishly crushed for us, the football fan. I mean, the Raiders were back, the fan base was back, the team was so easy to root for, Carr and Cooper and the offensive line and Del Rio and Khalil Mack, and I thought, and I've been saying this for a couple months, that we were on a great collision course, Oakland in New England. And the fact that we don't get that really bothers me. Look, Pittsburgh, New England will be fun. Kansas City, New England could be a lot of fun. But I really wanted to see the Raiders.
Yeah, it really is unfortunate. With the other games, who do you think is more likely big underdog to win the game outright, the Dolphins or the Lions?
I'm not going to pick either one. I think Seattle is vulnerable. If Washington would have knocked off the Giants, I was going to pick Washington to beat Seattle. I think Washington could have exposed some areas of weakness. The Lions are a one-man band with Matthew Stafford, and Stafford's injury is a huge problem. I mean, Detroit's not that good. And, you know, they backed into the playoffs. They only give it back, but, you know, it's not like they're peaking at the right time. They've lost three straight games. And I got to tell you, I never, if I'm Detroit in a million years, would have ever said Jim Caldwell is coming back. I don't think he's a good coach. I mean, go back to, you know, Peyton Manning giving him that death stare during that Colts-Jets debacle from an Indy perspective. I don't think he's a good in-game manager or an inspirational coach. He's got a lot of losses to inferior teams. If I'm Bob Quinn with the Patriot ties, I would have let this thing play out, and I would have hired either Matt Patricia or Josh McDaniels. Now, if you're going to make me choose one, I'll choose Detroit. Look, Adam Gase has done a really solid job this year. I thought the fish were dead in the water after the slow start to the season. But I think it's a tough matchup against Pittsburgh. Le'Veon Bell has been incredible. Brown, Roethlisberger, Todd Haley's done a good job reestablishing the run. I don't trust this.
Incredible.
Did you say that again?
That Pittsburgh offense is just incredible.
Incredible. And they're going to shred that Miami defensive backfield.
If Ben Roethlisberger gets a third ring, that would be really interesting.
See, I think Roethlisberger, his legacy is already entrenched as a Hall of Famer, all-time clutch quarterback. If he did that, think about the path. He would have to beat Brady and Belichick in Foxborough. And look, I think, this is my opinion, there are four teams, Pittsburgh would be fifth, that I think can win the championship this year. Not in any order. Patriots, Cowboys, Falcons, and the Green Bay Packers. If Roethlisberger could win a ring, with all that said, that's next level kind of legacy.
Yeah, with the quarterback legacies, I know win-loss record and rings aren't a quarterback stat, but when you're starting to rank the top five of all time against each other, they're all really good, and I don't think that that's an unfair tiebreaker at that point.
You know, I agree with you completely, and, you know, people say wins not a quarterback stat. Look, I'm never going to walk up to Dan Marino and say, Dan, you never won the big one. Nice career, but, you know, you weren't that good. I mean, obviously, we know Dan Marino's an all-time great. But you're 100% right. You know, whether it's current rankings of quarterbacks, Russell Wilson wins. You move him up the list. This is what your eyes tell you to do. John Elway, to me, is one of the all-time greats. the Super Bowls, making the Super Bowls, winning the Super Bowls. You know, John Elway to me is a top 3-4 quarterback, and I frankly would have him at number 3, you know, when you talk about all time. It actually bothers me when people say, well, you know, winning is not a quarterback stat. You know what? You know what I want my quarterback to do? Go out and win a damn game. Now, there are certain things like the Marino situation.
There's lots of variables.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more. And I think that it really bugs me when people say, well, you can't solely look at wins. Well, I mean, we can't. Winning's not a quarterback statistic. Well, it's one of the statistics that I think you're ultimately going to look at a quarterback and say, you know what? This guy got it done when it mattered the most, which is also part of my argument why Derek Carr is the MVP of the NFL.
You mentioned Jim Caldwell not being a good coach. There's already 6 openings. So maybe like the Lions figured that if maybe they don't think that they're like as attractive for a Josh McDaniels or someone of that nature. If you were to rank the openings, I think Denver is probably the best, but what do you think are the best jobs that are open? If you're the hot coaching candidate right now, which one would you want?
Denver's number one. Now there's expectations. John Elway wants to win a championship next year, but that's clearly number one. I made a living destroying Jeff Fisher. Absolutely. On Time to Shine, on Shine on Sports, on our SiriusXM show, we always play Sia's Californication with the I'm Not Going 7-9 BS and all the stuff from Hard Knocks. And I mean, it's a great bit for us. You know, you poor people of Los Angeles, Joey McIntyre calls into the show. It's great. I think the Rams job is attractive. You know, you have an owner, good or bad, who's going to give you time. It's Los Angeles. He's going to pay you. Is Les Snead going to stay? I need to find out about that. Look, I thought Fisher and the Rams, one of many things where they failed. Never in a million years would I have picked Goff over Wentz. Never in a million years. I was outspoken way before the draft on that. But I don't think Goff is inept. He looked horrendous this year. Obviously, Hard Knocks, I didn't know where the sun was going to rise and set, and that's kind of a problem. But I thought he would be a good quarterback in the NFL. So you have Todd Gurley. I mean, that was a special kind of inept from Jeff Fisher, turning Todd Gurley into an irrelevant player. You have Aaron Donald. I think the Rams job is a good job.
The 49ers job, like, it's on one hand, they're bereft of talent. On the other hand, you can go in there with a GM and start fresh and build something totally from scratch. Now, the Jed York component bothers me because you almost can't be too good there because then he's going to get jealous about the other people getting the credit. You've talked and written a bunch about how bad they bungled that Jim Harbaugh situation. But if you're an optimist and you believe in yourself, that's a decent looking situation.
I have to at least acknowledge your point. And I think Jed York is sans clue. I mean, he has no idea what he's doing. And firing Harbaugh will go down in history as the worst coaching transaction ever. Consider the Niners before, during, after Harbaugh. And then consider what Harbaugh has done at Michigan, consider Tom Sula, consider Chip Kelly. I feel very convinced and comfortable saying that. And you knew it at the time. I mean, I use Harbaugh as a verb. I mean, you're right. You know, he fired him because he didn't want to play nice in the sandbox and, you know, had a cantankerous personality, which is why I laugh whenever Jed talks about that culture of winning. Well, he had it. But you're right. He's a petulant child and he wasn't getting the proper credit. But I do acknowledge your points. Jed has a unique opportunity with all of these failures to actually stumble into a good combination. You know, he's the only team right now looking for a general manager. Find a football guy. Find someone who understands scouting and how to build a program. And you can find a good head coach. So some years there aren't a lot of good candidates. there are some really solid candidates. I would not want to work for Jed York. His reputation is awful. His legacy is terrible. The results are atrocious. I acknowledge what you're saying.
The big rumor now is the Lewis Riddick, Josh McDaniels pairing there. That would be formidable, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm a big believer in McDaniels learning something. I think I heard Mike Nolan talking about this on SiriusXM and on the NFL Network as well. You know, I think Josh and Mike was his defensive coordinator in Denver. He needed to learn how to deal with people. And you hope he learned that. And listen, his X's and O's are great. So, yeah, I would absolutely give Josh, whether I'm Jacksonville, San Francisco, Los Angeles, I would have interest in. Listen, if I'm Bob Quinn, I'd fire Jim Caldwell after the playoffs and hire Josh McDaniels.
Is there anything in the NFL landscape we didn't get to that you think is important and you're dying to hit the big weed listeners with a take about?
My goodness, the Bills are inept. I mean, geez. And to me, right, there's two sentences. Number one, Rex Ryan is a sideshow clown who should have never been hired in the first place. And the day he was hired, I said he will be fired in 2 years. That's number one. Sentence number two, my goodness, the Bills' problems go deep. And how Doug Whaley did that press conference on Monday, I'll never know. And the Pegulas don't seem to have any touch or any clue or any feel how to run an organization. You know, poor Tyrod Taylor, who I think is a solid player, is kind of a pawn in this game. You know, you want to hire Anthony Lynn? Here's an idea. Do it before he goes somewhere else or he loses Gus Bradley. I went to Syracuse. My first job in radio was in Syracuse. So I have a big attachment to Central New York, Western New York. I know a lot of Bills fans. I want them to get back to the playoffs. I mean, I feel so terrible for the great fans of the Buffalo Bills.
I'm going to disagree with you slightly on Rex Ryan. Do I think that he is the second coming of Vince Lombardi? No. But I think that he's an above average head coach and I would want to play for him. And I would want to see him in a situation where there were co-head coaches. He runs the defense and someone else runs the offense. We've never seen anything like that in the NFL where like two guys have the head power and charge title. But I would like to see an experiment with him as half of it.
Yeah. We'll disagree on that. I don't think we're ever, and I don't even think we're going to have to worry about it. I don't think we're ever going to see Rex Ryan coach again in the NFL. How's that as a prediction?
I'll bet you a cheeseburger that we do within 36 months.
Deal. You're on.
All right, great. It was so great having you on. We really appreciate the time. As we said at the beginning, you've got 7,000 things going on in your life and your career, and we appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. Have a great rest of the week, and let's enjoy these NFL playoffs.
Nothing like the playoffs and the NFL divisional round and the playoffs. The best weekend in all of sports, and you know, big fan of the site, and keep up the great work, and anytime, don't hesitate to call.
All right, thanks, Adam. Have a great rest of the week.
Bye-bye. Bye.